is from the first chapter of Romans as we conclude the studies in chapter 1. The book of Romans, the first chapter, beginning with verse 24, reading through the end of the chapter. Therefore God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. And we'll end there this morning the reading of God's holy word. Last week there appeared in World Magazine an article about Coach Roy Brown, who is an assistant football coach at the University of Nebraska. And when I say the University of Nebraska, we're talking big time college football. University of Tennessee fans know that. Coach Roy Brown is black. He is Afro-American. Recently, he applied for the vacant position as head football coach at Stanford University. After his initial interview, preliminary interview given to all those who applied, it quickly became obvious that Coach Brown was unacceptable. Not because he was black, but because he was Christian. Coach Brown is a quote-unquote Bible-believing Christian. Coach Brown believes that the practice of homosexuality is sin. And for that reason, he was disqualified for the position as head football coach at Stanford University. The acceptance of homosexuality has become a test of orthodoxy in the realm of American civil religion. This is rather frightening, especially for our young people. Brethren, if this is the beginning, what does the future hold for Christians? I am personally on the over-the-hill side of my life, so things like this will probably never affect me and my job security and my job opportunities. But to the young people of America, of this church, of other Bible-believing churches, this may very well affect your job opportunities, your career opportunities, and the opportunities for advancement. If you take a position that homosexuality is not approved by our God, you may need to consider, in reality, young people, you may need to consider becoming so good at your job that you become irreplaceable, regardless of your convictions. You may need to consider whether you should start, if God willing, your own company as a Christian company, Christian-owned and Christian-operated. You may need to consider whether or not in the future you may have to be a self-employed person. Because in America, this is becoming the test of orthodoxy. What I will say this morning may become illegal in the years to come. And I will say it while we still have the freedom in this country to say it. The next generation of preachers who are now being prepared in the seminaries of America, God must give them an extraordinary amount of courage, because they will have to speak to a nation that will hate what they have to say. The Bible clearly speaks to the issue of homosexuality, and it does so in Romans chapter 1 in our text today. It is clear from the text that this is what God is speaking about. In verse 26, it says, "For this reason God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts." God made man in such a way that a man would be attracted to a woman and a woman would be attracted to a man. The term natural here is used in the sense that God made it that way. Only that which God made is natural. Paul speaks in 1 Corinthians about this attraction, about this relationship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he tells us there about this attraction between a man and between a woman. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 2, "But because of immoralities, let each man have his own wife." It might be good if the Roman Catholic Church were to read that. "And let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband fulfill his duty to his wife, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise also the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement for a time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, lest Satan tempt you because of your lack of self-control." And he goes on in verse 9 and says, "But if they do not have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than it is to burn. There is a burning in men and women, an attraction toward one another. And Paul says, for this reason, let every man have his own wife and every woman have her own husband. And the solution to this burning, the solution to this passion, is the marriage of a man to a woman. But when sin becomes prominent, this burning is retargeted of a man to a man and a woman to a woman. This burning here is the same kind of burning that is used in Romans chapter 1, as we shall see. Man takes the natural order of creation and twists it in just an opposite direction. And so, as we shall see in Romans chapter 1, just as a man naturally desires a woman, and a woman desires a man, when God brings His judgment upon a nation, He shall change that burning, whereby men will burn for men and women will burn for women. And it is a burning. It is a voracious desire, which is in both man and woman. And so the Apostle Paul, in Romans chapter 1, speaks of that burning again. In verse 27, and in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Paul says, if you have burning, it's better to marry. In Romans chapter 1, he says, when God brings His judgment, that burning gets reversed, and men burn for men and women burn for women, and that's a sign not of a progressive nation, but that's a sign of the judgment of God, that man has taken what is natural and turned it into what is unnatural. And it is a burning. According to the book of Romans, this homosexual desire is a burning. It's just as much burning as a man burns for a woman as a woman burns for a man. It's not playing. It's not experimentation. It is a burning desire. It is contrary to nature. It is wrong. It is immoral. And that's what Coach Brown believed. And that's what came to be known at Stanford University. And that's when the students and even professors there began to protest that this man is not qualified to be on this campus. And so it is. And so it will be, unless God brings revival in our nation. Paul is very explicit, and he calls these indecent acts. Verse 27, and in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts. Paul doesn't go into detail. There's no need to go into detail. He simply summarizes and he says there is a passion in homosexuals, lesbians, sodomites, and it's real. It is a burning. Notice what comes along with homosexuality in verse 29 and 30. When homosexuality begins to become accepted in a nation, you will also find the attendant evils. Verse 29, they run together. being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice, they are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. These qualities here are attendant or precede or follow a nation that turns toward homosexuality as being a normal lifestyle. There will be a breakdown in society. There will be a breakdown in all morals in society. Homosexuality is not an innocent alternative lifestyle, but is associated with immorality in general. And it will be preceded or followed by blanket immorality in every area of life. A nation that cannot understand the natural functions and the natural desires that God gave unto man, how can they understand anything else? If you can't understand that God made a man to be attracted to a woman and a woman to be attracted to a man, how can you go beyond and understand anything? And so all these sins will follow or be attended to or at least precede this particular sin of men with men and women with women. So it is true, according to Paul, that some men will burn, have a desire for other men. Some women will have a desire for other women. Why? Why do people have that problem? Are they born that way? Is it in the genes? Is it just a choice? Paul doesn't seem to give us any of those as alternatives to that question. As a matter of fact, Paul calls it a penalty. A penalty, a recompense, according to the King James Version. Verse 27 again. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Due penalty means punishment, if you will. Not only is there a burning, but there is the consequences of sodomy, and both of them together are penalties of God. They dishonor their own bodies, verse 24, God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity that they might be dishonored among them, their bodies might be dishonored among them. Verse 27, receiving in their own persons. It's a punishment. I know that doesn't go well with modern America, but according to the Word of God, homosexuality, the existence of homosexuality, the approval of homosexuality, homosexuality becoming a standard of right in a nation and accepted by that nation is God's judgment upon that nation. And that's one way you can know that God is judging our country. It's a punishment. It's like being punished to live in a sewer. And when you live in a sewer, you live with all the diseases that come from that sewer. And even the burning desire itself is a penalty. It's not natural. It's not inexcusable. But it is powerful. It is a penalty. Why does God penalize a society? Well, He tells us in verse 24 and 25. In verse 24, He begins with, therefore, and we saw last week and the previous weeks what goes before this passage. Therefore, because of what Paul has said prior to verse 24, we find the reason why God penalizes a nation. And he summarizes it again for us in verse 25. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Why does God allow, as we shall see shortly here, why does God take the restraints off of the sinfulness of man? He does it because men exchange the truth for a lie, and they worship the creature rather than the Creator. The whole issue of homosexuality and all the sins that come with it go back basically to one thing: corrupted worship. Corrupted worship. The corruption of worship is the reason for the spreading, expansion, the multiplication of homosexuality in any nation. Verse 24, God gave them over to the lust in their hearts. Why? Verse 25, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. It goes back to worship. The corruption of worship will always bring with it a society that destroys itself. And that's one reason why we must guard our worship. Worship must be done as God requires us to do it. Worship done properly is important. There are worship wars in America right now. It is a battle not only for worship, it is a battle for the survival of our nation. This due penalty, this expansion of homosexuality goes back to verse 26 or verse 25, where they worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. Paul makes a connection in chapter 1, between the promotion and spread of homosexuality and the corruption of worship. You see, impiety leads to idolatry. Idolatry leads to immorality. And immorality ends in sodomy. We must guard our worship like the government guards Fort Knox. Worship is the lifeblood and the health of a civilization. And it's interesting that idolatry is unacceptable. Worship and immorality appear in the same text with a cause and effect relationship. Why is homosexuality a problem in America today? Because our worship stinks. We praise everything but the Holy God in every way contrary to His will. And man begins to worship the creature. Man begins to worship in his own way. Man does not worship the true and the living God, our Creator. And that's why nations find themselves controlled by the sin of homosexuality. Notice how God penalizes men who worship the creature rather than the Creator. He uses one phrase in this text three times to make His point. God penalizes not by directly forcing people to do something against their will, but God penalizes by simply withdrawing His restraining power. Verse 24, therefore God gave them over Verse 26, for this reason God gave them over. Verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over. God gives them over. There is in their hearts this rebellion against God. There is in their hearts this lust which is contrary to God's will. And God has been restraining that. God has put a fence around us so we would not cross that fence. And all of a sudden, as our worship begins to deteriorate and we worship corrupt creatures rather than God, God takes the fence down and lets the lust go wild. And that's God's penalty against man. God gave them over, verse 24, in the lust of their hearts to impurity. Verse 26, God gave them over to degrading passions. Verse 28, and God gave them over to a depraved or reprobate mind to do the things which are not proper. God simply removes His restrictions. That's what we call common grace. Man would be much worse if God were not to restrict man. But when God becomes upset with man, God simply takes down the fence and says, run wild, and you will live with the consequences of your own sin. And the result is impurity, degrading passion, a rejected mind, minds that have rejected God. God did not make man that way. Man became foolish. He began to believe lies. He began to believe things that were not true. He began to consider himself wise when he was a fool. And God says, if you're going to go down that route, I'm going to let you go. And you'll live with the consequences of your own sin. God didn't make you that way. But when you corrupted the worship of God, and you called God a liar, and you didn't believe what God said, God simply let lust take its control over you, and you see where it will bring you. I have the desire to fly a B-15 bomber. But God has given me enough restraints not to be so foolish. Because I would kill myself and everybody nearby. But sometimes God says, you're so foolish. Get in the plane and fly it. Go ahead and see what happens. Go ahead and live with the consequences. Now, I don't want to alarm you unnecessarily about sodomy, but you know, sodomy is a sign that a particular civilization is near its end. It's almost over. The term sodomy comes from Sodom and Gomorrah. When sodomy becomes legal, it becomes prevalent. The end of a civilized nation is coming near. When men came out of the closet, the descent of America into its grave was accelerated. And America is no exception. God can change things. But those of you who have lived 40, 50, 60 years, you have seen the change in America. There has been a revolution and you've lived through it. I have lived through it. A revolution of the mind. More powerful or as powerful as the original revolution that created our very nation. We have seen in the last 20, 25 years in this country And nobody has been sounding the alarm that if we do not repent, if we do not change, these are the last days of our nation. Because in the Word of God, the last act of God in judgment is God gives them over. He says, you want it, you got it. And you'll live with the consequences of what you wanted. There are consequences to everything, to every decision, to every act. And you want it, you got it, live with it. But it may very well destroy you. And then he tells us in verse 32, the final stages. Verse 32, and although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death. They know that. We've already seen that in previous dealings with the book of Romans. They know they suppress the truth. They know the truth. They know it's unnatural. They know it's contrary to the way God made man and woman. They know that. They suppress that. They'd rather believe a lie than to believe the truth. They profess to be wise, but God says you're fools. They know that. Although they know that, and they also know that those who practice such things are worthy of death. In the Old Testament, it was the death penalty. They know that. They not only do the same. And here's the passage which tells us of the last act, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. You see, they're not satisfied with doing it themselves. They want to see it become the standard belief for everybody else. They are not satisfied with coming out of the closet. They want to occupy the whole house. Don't you understand that? They have an agenda. They are recruiting, they are in an aggressive mode, and they are pushing their agenda. And that's why Dr. Dobson recently, contrary to popular opinion, told the parents in California to get your kids out of the public schools. Because in the elementary schools in the state of California, they are promoting this agenda. They are teaching that homosexuality is nothing but a matter of diversity and it must be accepted in America. And Dr. Dobson, who has been opposed to people withdrawing from the public schools, finally came out and said, in California at least, Christian parents get your kids out of those schools because they're being taught a lie. These people do not have the desire to simply be accepted. They want their views to be the standard view of America. From the state university down to the elementary schools, from the bedroom to the boardroom, everybody must take sensitivity training, which includes a hard lesson on learning about diversity. And from Barney Frank to Rosie O'Donnell, it's become now the standard test of orthodoxy in America. What are we to do? What are we going to do? It happened to Coach Ron Brown. It can happen to you. What are we to do? Well, we ought to pray that God will send revival to our nations. We need to pray that God will restore worship in our churches that's pleasing to Him. Some of you may need to get ready someday to be self-employed. You may need to be so good at your job that your employer says you are irreplaceable. Even though you will not believe what we believe, you are so good we cannot let you go. We need to pray for those who are caught in this lust and burning, which is so contrary to the way God made us, that they will turn to Christ. The only answer is not accepting this as an alternative lifestyle, but proclaiming to the world that this is God's penalty because we have corrupted His worship, we have believed lies, and God has turned us over to the lust of our own hearts. And the only answer to that is to repent, to worship God in all His beauty, in all His purity. That's why the Apostle Paul says in verse 25, when you mention worship, what does he say? And worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Just mention the name Creator. God is our Creator. Blessed be God. Amen, amen, and amen. And we need to return back to that type of worship if we are to, in any way, reverse our decline in this country. Repent and worship the Creator rather than the creature. I implore you, do not be impure, do not dishonor your own body, and realize you are under the penalty of God. But Christ can cleanse you as white as snow. Christ can change those unnatural burning desires into natural burning desires that is conquered by the marriage of a man to a woman. May God have grace on America. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we ask forgiveness for your church. Rather than speaking the truth, we have adopted ourselves and called evil good and wicked righteous. Our Father, we pray for those who have been suffering the penalty of the judgment of God. We pray that we might see that as we live in the last days of a civilized nation, the hope that we have is that God can change men's hearts. Our Father, help us to guard our worship. Help us not to play with God. Help us to come to Him in fear and reverence and awe. Help us to bless His name forever as our Creator and our Redeemer. And therefore, be the objects of His grace and mercy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.